Welcome to Churches Planting Churches, a podcast on the theology and practice of church planting. I'm your host, Tony Marita.
Throughout the book of Acts, Luke describes the unstoppable progress of the gospel, and he leaves the reader with Paul preaching in a Roman prison. It's an unusual ending in that the great church planter Paul is in jail, but it's also a powerful ending in that Luke shows us the triumphant power of the gospel. The messenger is in chains, but the word of God is not bound. Practically, Luke's ending has many things to say to us. His message is something like this: this book is finished, but the mission isn't. And here's where we get to enter. We get to be part of this ongoing mission. We get to participate in the next chapters of Acts, if you will. We get to join the drama of spreading the good news to the nations and planting churches in every nook and cranny of the world. God indeed replaces the messengers, but this life-changing message continues to be preached, and this unstoppable mission continues until the King returns and the glory of God fills the earth as the waters cover the seas. In Italy, where the faithful apostle finally came in Acts 28, many faithful men and women are continuing this mission. They continue to believe what Paul wrote to the Roman churches, that the gospel really is the power of God unto salvation. And one of the men who is helping lead a missional movement in Italy is J.D. Gilmore. J.D. was born into a missionary family, grew up in Italy, and was touched by grace as a teenager. Passionate for the spread of the gospel in Italy with his wife Annette, they have been involved in church planting in Bologna and now in Palermo, Italy. He now coordinates Impatto, Acts 29 in Italy. JD, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
So JD and I had the great privilege of meeting and hanging out in Belgrade and in Italy. He was gracious enough to invite me to a conference in Italy, and I've admired JD's work from afar for a while. And JD, when I talk to guys, I often hear them say, you know, JD operates at another level. A couple of guys were telling me that recently. So do you ever sleep? What does your ministry involve? You're involved in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, another level. Maybe the fact that I live in Sicily, there's another level there as well. So I just try and make the most of what I have and the availability of time, and just by grace seek to press forward. So a lot of involvement in terms of a lot of things happening, a lot of different areas, sectors, types of ministry focuses. So been around quite a while in Italy and therefore got involved in a lot of stuff. Jumped in probably too quickly in some stuff, but still swimming around there. And certainly Acts 29 at the moment is my main focus. To see a movement of churches here in Italy, gospel-centered churches develop, that would really be something which I'd like to leave as a legacy in a sense. So sleep, yeah, I sleep quite a lot. I sleep enough. I don't quantify it sometimes that, but I do sleep.
Yeah. So I want to circle back to A29 in Italy in a moment, because I'm super encouraged by what's going on there. But maybe a little background. How did you get to Italy? Tell us about your spiritual journey, if you will.
Okay, my parents came to Italy in January of 63. So I was 3.5 months old or young. So that's my heritage. Born in Wales, parents British, but lived in Italy since early 63. So I was very much not called to Italy, but brought to Italy at that stage, at least. And then obviously in latter years, after a wonderful, I'd say, progressive experience of grace during my childhood years as an MK and a PK, experienced something of the wonder of forgiveness, even as a young child, began to understand my sinfulness. And as a teenager, really, in a moment of crisis, really cried out to God and saw a massive change brought around. And then got involved after having done all schooling by homeschooling. So I'm one of those kind of pioneer homeschoolers. Then just enjoyed being able to finish school, get involved in a bit of work, secular employment, then ran a radio station, a Christian radio station, for 5 years, and essentially been in full-time ministry since my mid-20s.
So take us from maybe mid-20s up to where you are now.
Okay, got married back in 89, so it's almost, it's going on for 29 years, more than 29 years. So involved in evangelism. I was very much in my mid-20s involved in street evangelism, old style, you know, campaigns on the road and preaching and drama and music and big vision for the islands of the Mediterranean. So I was moving around quite a lot, taking groups, doing a lot of speaking, engaging with individuals, literature distribution. This was the late 70s, early 80s. And so it was the kind of thing you did back then. And it was, I'd say it was effective as well. Got married, had three kids. And then my wife contracted chronic fatigue. So this was 23 years ago. So that changed a little bit of the focus of our ministry. And so it became much more focused on networking. So became very connected to the scene in Italy and churches, missionaries. So a lot of teaching and encouragement and increasingly pastoral. So very diverse ministry developed from what I'd anticipated originally. Mm. So then church planting became something which I naturally came into because there's a local church in Messina where we were living. My father's pastoring there. We were involved in the youth ministry. So I was the youth pastor. And then we as a church planted another church. And so that was my first, in a sense, first-hand experience of church planting. And then from that, engaging in a lot of situations, helping others, investing in churches. And then more recently moved to near Bologna, Budrio, to help with a church plant there. And then just a year ago, less than a year ago, moved back to Sicily. Mm.
So before we talk about Sicily, what would you say just in general are some of the challenges of church planting in Italy?
So the most successful statistically method of church planting is church division in Italy. Sad to say, but that's the way it is. So the church planting DNA really is not present. So one of the challenges of church planting is that it just doesn't happen. So that's just very, very bluntly. Mm-hmm. So it's not part of there's a kind of a small mentality often. There are so few of us. We're a very small percentage of the population. Few born again, Bible-believing Christians attending evangelical churches is really a kind of a tough situation. And therefore, there's that kind of defeatist mentality. It's like, how can we ever think of planting or multiplying? We already maintain, you know, it's just maintaining and surviving so hard. Yeah. So I think the mentality is just really blocking and pulling back. And then the expectations. There's a lot to be said on the Italian mindset, the Catholic backdrop, spirituality, works, performance, shame culture. There's all kinds of implications. Mm. But church planting doesn't naturally occur. It's not part of the DNA. Mm. And so that's the context we're working in, both within the evangelical church and broadly, even the secular context. It's difficult to think of, you know, how would you plant a church within a secular context? Not easy at all.
Yeah. So you would include, obviously, Italy within kind of the secularization of Europe, but added to that is the Roman Catholic influence also. Those are some major challenges, huh?
Yes. We're part of the globalized world. Therefore, we're subject to anything that comes on the net. Netflix, you know, dominates culture here as well. So there are a lot of similarities between Italy and other Western countries. But at the same time, there's a nuancing because of the Catholic mindset, which is very traditional, very superstitious, and a lot could be said about that. But it's really defined a lot of the cultural characteristics of Italians. Mm. And then I live in the South where that's more prevalent, more evident. Whereas in the North, secularization is very dominant. Whereas in our part of the world, secularization is coming in, but within a traditional context. So you still have values like family. God is usually generally believed in as, you know, something out there, but we don't really know him. But in terms of a vital spiritual walk and experience, it just doesn't happen all that much. Hmm. So it's true that it's secular, but it's also religious. So there's that interesting mix, which in Italy certainly is quite popular.
Yeah, so what happens if a Catholic individual comes to faith? What would be some of the challenges in discipling them?
I think the performance concept, you know, I have to deserve it. It's too simple. Grace plus nothing, that doesn't work. I'm not used to that. Surely I have to do something. You know, I have to be good or, you know, be moralistic or something. And so getting the gospel really to redefine the mindset. You know, some days we think it's impossible almost, you know, because it's so hard. Because by default, you go back to the same point of departure. And then as a result of that, because of the performance issue, because of it's more what I do. Therefore, there are a lot of ethical issues which are not totally resolved, like what's truth? So a white lie, maybe not being totally upright at school or at work, or paying the mafia protection money, for example, you sort of give in. And in that sense, it becomes really difficult to massage the gospel into the lives of people. So that is a massive challenge that we face. And I really think that's the weak link. Even as you look at the church in Italy, a lot of passion, a lot of joy, a lot of encouragement, but at the same time, just the difficulty of living out the gospel and having a radical commitment to the gospel.
And that's your real burden, right, in terms of your work, is to try to bring this gospel-centered understanding of the Christian life, even more than waving an Acts 29 banner, if we can say that, is to really just, not even just to Italy, but to all of Europe, right? And particularly Eastern Europe. I want to talk about that in just a moment. And the Balkans, where you're involved. But that's the real burden, huh?
Absolutely. And I think the more I look at Italian history and culture, and the more I have to do with my fellow Italians, because I'm as Italian as you can get, the more I realize that the missing story is the gospel. It's what they're longing for, but they don't really know it. And so I think our challenge is to tell the story faithfully in a way which is relevant to the context we're in. So it's reaching out to this generation in a language and with terms and with concepts which are relevant to them. When you see the wonder of the gospel in an Italian context, it's so liberating. It's everything they've dreamed of. And so that's why gospel centrality, more than a kind of a philosophy out there, so it's really a practical way of looking at life. And it redefines everything. The whole Catholic concept on suffering, you suffer so that you redeem yourself by suffering, by pain. You know, you'll evidently be more holy. And it's about what you do. It's about being a victim. Instead, the grace is so liberating. The gospel of grace, the glorious gospel of grace, is really our passion to see that spread in Italy like wildfire.
Amen. Amen. If you're listening to this, pray for that. JD, talk to us a little bit about Acts 29 in Italy. I've been to a few places in Europe, and it just seems to me that A29 in Italy is really, really doing well. The brotherhood seems to be very refreshing, very real. New work's getting started, guys being assessed. Can you talk a little bit about Acts 29 Italy?
Yep, sure. Glad to. So we began 4 or 5 years ago formally, but we've got a few years before that as well in terms of conversations, relationships. And God's been really good. He's brought together key individuals with key churches. And this has allowed us to start off with a good core group of churches. So currently we have 12 churches, 4 of which have started in the last year. So these are church plants, very young, just first initial steps, but really showing again signs of promise. And again, against the backdrop of we don't plant churches in Italy, this is a monumental step forward in the creation of a DNA. So we have a good, strong band of leaders, of men who are really engaged with God's word, who have got a burden and passion to see their areas reached. We're coming together, we want to share resources. We also think in terms of family. So we think husband and wife. So we do coaching for the families. We've been here at the retreat, and even in the retreat, it was all about kids coming together and again creating this dynamic, which is very Italian, very relevant. You know, la famiglia, you know, the families being together. And then again, the growing vision, sense of camaraderie, wanting to share together in joys, but also in sorrows. So that sense of being family, I think that's the one single characteristic that I've most appreciated. And as a result of that, church planting, it takes on a new kind of characteristic. It's no longer an activity that you do professionally. It's something you as a family are doing. And so that is huge and good. So Acts 29 Italy is growing. It's growing slowly. This is not the context where you go and recruit hundreds of churches out there who are already on the same page. This is a very small page, and you have a very small group of churches. So it is small steps, but we've been going, you know, by God's grace in the right direction over the years, and well-structured. We're set up, a lot of need, but we're certainly going in the right direction.
So the immigration issue in Italy is a major issue, right? Do you guys within A29 discuss that a good bit? What kind of challenges, what kind of opportunities have presented itself with immigration?
Certainly, the most recent wave of migrants coming in have been, you know, obviously it's overwhelming from many points of view, and you get a lot of nominal Christians coming, especially out of Africa, and so they're flooding our cities, our contexts, and therefore one big issue is how do you reach them with the gospel, and then how do you interact with them within churches? So the question of integration or interaction is an interesting one. We've had some interesting discussions on that. But just trying to think through what does it look like to be a gospel-centered church in Italy that welcomes the migrants, welcomes the refugees, serves them in different ways. So several churches have really been on the front line of trying to think creatively what that looks like. And it's not an easy work. And also the first generation very much... you know, the language, the culture, they want to maintain their identity. Mm-hmm. Second generation, it's slightly different. So in our retreat recently, we just had one of our church planters who's pastoring a small church not far from Milan. He's from Ghana, been here about 15 years. His son has basically grown up here. So the father's still very African, living in Italy, mm-hmm. trying to plant a church for Italians, but also for Africans. But the son is already, yeah, it's a different sense of looking at life and culture. And so how do you work with that? How do you embrace the uniqueness and the richness of that culture and you integrate it and interact with it within the context of Acts 29? So we're trying to think ahead, how can we increase our connection with those who come from other cultures and ethnicities? And how do we dialogue with them and also give them equal rights, if you like, in terms of leadership and meeting their needs, which sometimes are unique. Mm-hmm. So it's a big conversation, but we're in the middle of it.
Mm. Now, JD, I know you're also very involved in other work across Europe, and you were sharing with me earlier about upcoming event in the Balkans. I'd love for you to share with the listeners what's happening, maybe some ways they could help support what's happening in the Balkans. Love to hear about that.
Yeah, it's quite strange for a kind of a UK missionary, having grown up in Sicily, being here to talk about the Balkans, but that's the paradoxes of the kingdom. So several years ago, John Piper came to Italy, did a conference, and we had 250 people come from the Balkans to be part of that conference. And as a result of that, conversations began on how we could in some way interact with the Balkans and encourage and help and whatever, just resource them in some way. And so out of those conversations has developed the opportunity to develop a gospel coalition in Southeast Europe. And I think this is the first time this is kind of going public, but we're really at an early stage, but already fairly far on in terms of dialogue, of developing a gospel coalition network of churches with the emphasis of the centrality of the gospel within the Balkans. And through a series of events, which I can't go into, I ended up I'm at the moment in a position where I'm somewhat coordinating that. And so this October and November, we will have two events, one in Albania, one in Serbia. We've set up a steering group for this initiative with somebody from Montenegro, from Serbia, from Albania. We're planning events. We're looking at websites. We're thinking, how can we create that sense of common identity, which then produces church planting movements? We're interacting with Acts 29. I'm kind of wearing both hats at the moment. But it's hugely exciting. And I'm kind of blown away by what God's done. Again, the comic side of it, that, you know, kind of, I'm not the person that really should be doing this. So for those who are listening to this, who might have some natural interest or connection with the Balkans, you know, A, certainly pray. B, consider how you can be involved in terms of coming, in terms of giving to kickstart this initiative. There are, you know, a lot of needs and a lot of opportunities. We're praying to develop a council within the next year for Gospel Coalition. So again, we're thinking big. So anybody interested in knowing more, do connect with me and I'll be glad to connect you with the Balkans.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, do consider that. That is a really exciting initiative. We spent some time in Belgrade not long ago, and just I'm really praying myself for God to provide for various needs there, and that this event would be really fruitful and profitable. So let's talk for a moment about Yeah, you're a guy who you've been in different places. we've got a listener out there who is considering cross-cultural church planting, maybe from the States, maybe, who knows, from South America, considering coming to, let's say, Europe, let's say your neck of the woods. What would be two or three things that you would want them to know?
Well, first of all, we want you to have a sense of clear conviction and understanding that God is in this. Sometimes it's a romanticized call. I like gelato, therefore I'll come to Italy. You have no idea how much that happens. Or, you know, I like Tuscany, therefore I feel called to Tuscany, that sort of thing. So I think the sense of conviction and calling must be there. Again, sending churches need to be involved in the process. So I think if somebody is considering vaguely being involved in ministry in Italy, your mindset must not be numbers, success, fast growth. Mm-hmm. You have to come with a sense of this is God's work, and you don't speed it up. You don't come here with a kind of an agenda of expectations, which with 2 years needs to occur. So it's about coming with the right attitude. So very honestly, we would be glad to receive teachable, humble people who are wanting to come just to observe what's happening and to ask the question, how can we be a part of it? Or maybe, can we be a part of it? Is there something we bring to the table? Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing that we're looking for is people who will really make themselves available and also who have got something clear to bring. General practitioners, that's good. But it would be great to have somebody who comes with a specific area of expertise, sports, music, particular teaching, professional abilities. If you have a job which allows you to base yourself in Italy, because it's an internet-based job, and you want to move to Italy, become part of a church, connect with the church, connect with a team of church planters. You don't have to be the main church planter. Be of encouragement. But in other words, you know, connect with us. Connect and come and be part of what's going on. Don't parachute in and think you're going to change everything, but come humbly and be part of something which is ongoing. I think that's the best counsel.
That's excellent. So when you think about teachability, often I think Americans assume everybody around the world, not every American, but some of them, they're all looking to the States to learn. And of course, we do provide in English a lot of content, obviously, and things like that. But there's also a great need for Americans to learn from churches in Europe, in Africa, around the world. So it's a shared learning experience, right? What would you say for anyone, not just in America, but someone outside of Europe, outside of Italy, what can we learn from the church in Italy? What are one or two things perhaps that we need to be thinking about?
The first thing is context. So where we are now in Europe, vast areas of the States will be there. So the secularization and humanistic influences on Europe are huge. So just to give an idea, when you think of apologetics in the US, in a sense, you have a backdrop which is radically different from Europe. We're far more immersed in the sinfulness of human depraved thinking. So we're dealing with a paradigm which you don't yet always have in the States, especially in certain areas. So I've challenged church leaders in the States over the years. You need to be listening to us in terms of relating with a secularized context, because we're living in it. We're immersed in it. Now, obviously, we've got the in Italy, we have this kind of twofold dimension. So you have the secular, but also have the religious backdrop. But again, even in that, nominalism, that's a big key, something which you can really learn from the church in Italy. How do you deal with nominal Christians? So I think those two things, I think, are essential, the context and the nominal Christianity. And I think there's a lot to learn, because the church in Italy is living that it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not a simple thing. And it's not just you kind of blend in. It's a fairly radical decision. You have to be disciples who are on fire. Otherwise, you're just going to get snowed under by the pressure and by the ongoing prevailing mentality. And I think the churches in the States and other parts of the world would do well to come to Europe and to look and observe, listen and learn. Mm-hmm. Because this is, in a sense, probably the the final frontier at the moment of missions, because we've got really secularization is so huge, and there's this aggressive militant atheism and agnosticism, and so come here and observe, learn, and help us as well to process, because sometimes an objective opinion is good. Help us to process how can we as Church in Italy reach out to the context we're in. So we need to do it together. Partnership is the key word.
Amen. Amen. So if you could dream for 50 years ahead in Italy, what would your dream for the church in Italy? What would that be like?
Yeah, I want to see a national body of gospel-centered, Jesus-loving, on fire, full of revival, spirit-led, driven by the love of Christ, constrained by the love of Christ, just changing the landscape of the country so that the impact is 360 degrees. So the way you're a parent, the way you're a student, the way you work, the way you drive, the way you eat, why you do it, just to see the gospel pervading everything and redefining the whole of life. And churches which see their mission, their task, not as holding the fort, but actually reaching out into enemy territory and to press forward by God's grace and to see more churches planted. Within 50 years, that's what I'd like to see.
The eloquent J.D. Gilmore and passionate, gospel-loving brother, thank you so much. Hey, how can the listeners follow your ministry? Perhaps they're hearing some of these things. They want to get connected. They want to help. Perhaps they want to help with the upcoming event in the Balkans. Can you direct them?
Yes, certainly. By all means, connect with the X29 website, which will then lead you to the Italian website, which is called impattoitalia.com. That's the address, the website address. So that's one way. And then there you'll find email addresses. If you want to kind of have further information, more direct contact, do that. And in the context of the Balkans, we don't have any website. This is early days yet. But again, if anybody's interested in knowing more and getting involved in some way and partnering in some way, again, giving, that's also an opportunity, but certainly praying. Both for the Balkans, Southeast Europe, and Italy. Again, connect with us through the web.
Amen. Thank you, JD, so much for being on the podcast, man. You've really encouraged me.
Thanks, and thanks for coming to Italy. We really encourage you. In fact, we're going to get you back again, and we're already planning a nationwide tour.
Oh, yes. I like the sounds of that. I like the sounds of that. Great, as long as my wife can come again.
Absolutely. Okay. In fact, she must come.
Thanks, brother.